Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
This is KJ and Lyons. KJ Carson and John Lyons right now on WEEI.
Myers from 31 yards out. Dixon places it down. And the Seattle Seahawks go to 2-0. Under their rookie head coach, Mike McDonald, they defeat Gerard Mayo and the New England Patriots in overtime by the score of 23-20.
Hello and welcome to another edition of KJ and Lyons on WEEI. Thank you so much for being here for Patriots Monday. Look, John, when the game was over yesterday, I was like, damn it. But I felt like it was like, this is going to be a team that you win some and you lose some. All I've asked for when we've been on the air, I've said, I just want to see this team competitively in the balance of the games as the games come to the conclusion. Did I think they would win this game? Yes. Were they in the balance of the game? Yes. To me, this is still a positive for this team moving forward.
Hey, KJ. And look, for me, in the grand scheme of things, you're 2 weeks in. You're 1-1. I think a lot of people thought you'd be 0-2 with a rookie head coach. So you are 1-1. The loss has been in overtime. What concerns me, though, KJ, and I'm not going to totally crush them for this because I do want to give them the benefit of the doubt at least a little bit. The way they lost this game was eerily similar to the way they lost a lot of games last year and the year before, in that the Patriots throughout the last 20 years are very good at situational football. The last 2 years, not so much. And yesterday, end of the first half, not good. Not good with timeouts in the second half. Not good at the end of the second half either. So, again, Mayo's a rookie head coach, and you and I talked about this quite a bit. Can he learn from some of these things going forward? And I think if he can, great. But that's why, to me, again, in the grand scheme of things, you're 1-1, and you had a great win in week one, and you're not as talented as Seattle was anyway. But some of those mistakes, I think we saw some a rookie head coach and some new guys kind of at work there.
In the balance of the game, I only saw one mistake. One mistake. And that was the mistake of the 56-yard bomb to DK Metcalf. If you take away that mistake, and let's say you take away that 56-yard mistake, not only does Geno Smith not throw for over 300 yards, but let's just say it's a field goal. Patriots win by how many? Four.
Yeah, I saw a lot more than one mistake.
Well, but here's what I'm saying. This is a blue-collar team, and if you're expecting suddenly them to suddenly be these STEM experts with the talent out there, that's not this team. If anything, I put it more on the defense, who should have been a little more prepared, and hats off to Seattle. What they did was say, you know what? Geno Smith is more likely to be confused with complex defenses out there, but by going to no huddle, it made the Patriots defense go to something basic and then gave him the advantage matchups where you don't have a safety over the top and Gonzalez gets burned over. So if anything, credit Seattle for realizing the weakness of their own quarterback, taking advantage of it, and that's really the only difference of the game. Everything else is in the balance of the game. How many points did the defense give up in the second half?
Yeah, only three, right?
And there you go. That was two quarters and what, almost a third quarter?
Well, it's technically 6 points, right, if you include the field goal in overtime. But
right.
I think you make a great point about Seattle using the up-tempo, the no huddle, and even the motions. It felt like that gave the Patriots defense a lot of trouble. It also felt like the Patriots were blitzing a lot, and it felt like early in the game, a lot of those blitzes were creating pressure, giving Seattle some problems, and as the game went on, not so much. And maybe that's an adjustment for a guy like DeMarcus Covington going forward, right? Just try to mix things up a little bit more. And I think that blown coverage was probably more on Kyle Duggar than anyone else. Maybe a guy who should know better, who's been here longer than Christian Gonzalez has and has played for, what, four years
right
now?
Right, there's no reason there's nobody over the top.
Yeah, exactly. But to me, like, I look at it as like, okay, that was a mistake. But I don't even look at that, to be honest with you, KJ, as like the things that they really need to correct, because that's a one-time thing that they can kind of fix.
But to me, that's the one thing that was in the difference of this game. If that defense continues to play the way they did in the second half, and they don't, let's say that mistake doesn't become a touchdown but is only a field goal, this game doesn't even go to overtime. The blocked field goal doesn't even factor in. So my thing is, that's the one thing you could have controlled, is being aware, and there was a lack of awareness on the side of the ball where you feel like that's where the most awareness is. Look, how many penalties? What, three penalties for the offense? How many interceptions by Jacoby Brissett?
Zero.
None. Okay, how many turnovers by the Patriots yesterday?
Zero. Stevenson lost one fumble, but they recovered it.
Recovered, right? Yeah. So the offense did everything that its blue-collar self could do, right? Do you ever hire a construction guy to come in and, I don't know, do your computer work? Do you?
I don't think the offense has a ceiling, and I think we can agree on that they're not going to win games 31-28 consistently, right? That's just not
what they're
built.
But they can win them 21-17, and that's what it was set up to be. They could have won that game 20-13 yesterday.
Sure, but you have a kick block. Your mismanagement at the end of the first half was a big problem, too. I mean, you have...
The first half was a problem.
The end of the first half, when they had, what, first and 10 inside their own 10, and there's not one but two incomplete passes in that sequence, and on the last one, Alex Van Pelt calls four verticals when you're inside your own 10 with a weak offensive line. Like, I didn't like that call at all. It ends up incomplete, and then your defense, to your point, you punt it away, you give up like a 19-yard punt return, I think it was, and the defense lets Seattle go down the field and kick a field goal. Like, if you just manage that situation better, it takes 3 points off the board for Seattle, regardless of any blown coverage or anything. Like, that's the thing. Or even 2 of 4 in the red zone, the timeout usage in the second half. And it's again, these things add up, right? You can tell me that the 56-yard blown coverage is a bigger individual mistake than any of those, and I would agree with you. But I think these other smaller mistakes add up. They create points, and it's frankly the way they lost a lot of games last year.
No, a lot of mistakes were, turnovers were the issue last year. Bad decisions in key moments in terms of...
That's my point. These were bad decisions in key moments. Now, they didn't have the catastrophic turnovers.
This offense made virtually no mistakes in this game. This is a defense. This is the defense, because they lapsed on that play with DK Metcalf, is why they lost the game. Look, they only had 46 rushing yards, and your guy Walker is out. So if anything, maybe there was an assumption of, hey, if Geno Smith doesn't have his running game, we can kind of load up, which you mentioned with all the blitzing. But guess what? He was sufficient with the passing game to the point where that's what won it for him. If you told me that Geno Smith was going to come in against this defense and throw for 325 yards and the Patriots would run for 185 yards, I would tell you Geno Smith is playing from behind. So that's my point. It's like the offense did what it was limited to do.
But Jacoby taking the sack even before
the block field. Like, we already know what the offensive line is.
But that's part of it, right? Like, that's a bad situation. Like, if you're Van Pelt there, maybe don't try to push the ball down the field. If you're Jacoby, don't take the sack there. And we know, and look, if you're the offensive line, it's easy for us to say, but you know, play a little better. Like,
the other part of it is Seattle's on the other side of the field doing their job. I'm just saying what came down in this game yesterday was the Patriots not doing their job on the bomb for 56 yards to DK Metcalf. That's a 7-point difference in the game for a game that went to overtime. And with the block punt, with a block field goal, you could still would have won that game. This offense, we both agree. This is not an explosive offense. If you get 21 points out of it, you'd almost say, what mistake did the offense for the other team make to provide a short field? I don't seem too off when I say that, right? Yeah. But yet, here you had a situation where you're like, okay, we're going to make Geno Smith beat us with his arm. And the defense allowed that. There's no way two receivers should have 20 catches between the two of them and over 200 yards.
And I think
that's crazy.
We've talked a lot about this summer, the identity of this team, how they're going to try to win. And I think we've seen in the last 2 weeks, they've tried to win in a very similar way. And against Cincinnati, it worked because Cincinnati made some mistakes. The Patriots' defense was lights out. They were solid enough on offense. Yesterday, they weren't quite as good as they were against Cincinnati, and they just don't have the talent offensively to get that one more score when they need to. So I think it's just, when you look at this season, I think we have to expect, like, this is how they're going to try to play. It's going to win them some games like it did against Cincinnati. It's not going to be enough to win them 9 or 10 games. It's going to win them a handful, but then there's going to be some games like Seattle that they lose because, again, when their defense isn't elite, and even deep, we didn't even mention KJ defense, a lot more missed tackles than against Cincinnati they had yesterday. But
when your defense,
when your defense is not elite, you don't have the offense to compensate it. And then if you have a special teams mistake, and let's not even forget against Cincinnati, Joe Cardona forced a fumble on special teams. And this one, you lose points on a block kick. So your offense is just not good enough to make up when those two other units have any sort of letdown.
617-779-7937, text line 37937, KJ and Lions. Still to come, keywords, Dooku Kim, Alex Van Pelt, Drake May, Kyrie A. Thompson. So let me ask you this, John, before we go to break.
Sure.
Who had the better performance yesterday, the Patriots offense or the Patriots defense? If you have to say tough. Then you know what the answer is.
Yeah.
The offense did what it was supposed to. They ran the look, you no, almost had two
the
guys.
The passing offense was so bad yesterday, though.
But you take what you're given.
But in the NFL,
you just heard Jacoby Brissett just minutes ago say, look, they were like, they were on to us. Yeah, of course they're on to you.
But that's an offensive failing. Like, if you can't throw the ball for more than 150 yards.
Is that a talent failing, perhaps?
Well, that's part of it, right? The talent on offense, the execution, the coaching, all of it, right? Like, if you can't throw for more than 150 yards in back-to-back weeks, like, that's a failure. You do it once in a while to win, like, that's fine. But, like, when it's multiple weeks in a row, you can't do it. Like, that's just a huge failure to me.
Watch this, John. One Mississippi, two Mississippi. Does Brissett have a clean pocket to get that ball off at least 10 yards?
No.
Okay, so he took what was given to him.
That's the point. Is it's like you're asking me why they lost the game. It's, I'd say, all three phases.
It's
but the offensive
defense. The
defense didn't play well enough, but they still only gave up 20 points in regulation. Like, you should be able to win that game in the NFL.
Well, if you give up a touchdown for 56 yards, with
yeah, but that's
coverage.
One play. I mean, the Patriots offense. I don't think their Patriots receivers had 56 yards catches total combined. In the whole game.
I would agree with that. I totally agree with that.
That's a huge failure.
However, but if you told me, if you took away that one play and turned it from a touchdown to a field goal, and you would win the game, I'm still giving you points.
That's in the first half. Like, we don't know exactly that they would have won. Like, I agree with you, it was a big play. But
right. Now, it's one thing to say, hey, if he didn't miss the tackle. Like, okay, that's subjective, right? Because you don't know if he's going to make the tackle.
And if they didn't
but if there's nobody to tackle you, I'm just saying, if you're unabated to 7 points, unabated, you would have to say, okay, if someone tackled him, or if they take a pass interference, something, and then give up the 3 points, okay, you've kind of atoned for the mistake. There was no way to atone for the mistake, and like you said, with this offense, which is going to be limited as it is, as it was going to be starting with week one, any giving away 7 points is really like giving up a third of what you've got. It's like giving up. Yeah. It's like I give you a dollar and say, hey, actually, I'm going to give you 70 cents. It's like taking a third away of what you're going to do.
And I know we got to go to break, but I think the last point that bears mentioning, and I know we've talked about it a little, is I think this offense and this team is just not good enough. If they have a major special teams mistake, like the block kick or the punt return at the end of the first half, it's like, I don't know if they're good enough to overcome that. Like, and a lot of teams are, I think you're making the
point about that 56-yard touchdown. Like the defense allowed that to happen, knowing that the offense wouldn't be able to make up for that. 617-779-7937, text line 37937, KJ and Lions, WEEI, Kyrie A. Thompson up next. But right now it's time to trend with Joe Braverman.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Patriots injury report is out as the team gears up for Thursday Night Football showdown with the Jets from MetLife Stadium in just a few days. David Andrews, Juwan Bentley, Vidarian Lowe, Sidy Sow, and O'Shea Zimenez all did not practice limited, where Anthony Jennings, Marcus Jones, Mike Onwenu, Jabril Peppers, Lane Robinson, and Dietrich Wise. On the other side for the Jets, C.J. Mosley didn't practice with a toe injury. Michael Carter II, D.J. Reed, and Tyron Smith were limited, and the Jets officially announced that linebacker Jermaine Johnson tore his Achilles in yesterday's win over the Johnson. That rules him out for the season. Patriots did make a couple of roster moves, one of them being signing guard Michael Jordan to the 53-man roster. Week 2 of the NFL wraps up tonight with the Falcons taking on the Eagles, and you can listen to Westwood One's coverage of Monday Night Football right here on 93.7 WEEI-FM beginning at 7:30. Some other news going around the NFL. The Panthers are benching quarterback and last year's number one overall pick Bryce Young for their Week 3 matchup. Andy Dalton will get the start against the Raiders. Rams coach Sean McVay said the receiver Cooper Kupp will miss an extended period of time with an ankle injury and is a candidate to join his fellow receiver Puka Nacua on injured reserve. And Chiefs running back Isaiah Pacheco will miss 6 to 8 weeks for surgery on a fractured fibula he suffered yesterday against the Bengals. And the Red Sox resume play in Tampa tomorrow night with a 3-game series against the Rays. They are still making news and shockwaves. The MLB announced they are opening an investigation into manager Alex Cora's comments alluding towards retaliation regarding an attempt to intentionally hit Aaron Judge on Saturday against the Yankees. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WBEI and WBEI.com.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From a mentality standpoint, Gerard, just trying to drive the ball down people's throat, and in that case, felt like tried to do something fancy might be the wrong word, but...
No, I don't think we tried to do anything fancy. I think we tried to, you know, run the plays that we felt pretty comfortable with going into the game, and then at halftime made some adjustments, and look, this isn't a fancy football team. This is one of those teams, whether we throw it or run it, that we just had to be a tough football team, but at the same time, have to be smart. And we have to be able to go out there and line up and be mentally tough on a down-after-down basis.
KJ and Lions, WEEI, good Patriots Monday to you. Gerard Mayo, maybe that's the next of my parodies called Hot Read. Turn your head on one. It's just that bad, John. I mean, that's been bad, and so has the allergies this season. Like this, we'll talk to Kyrie Thompson here in 1 minute. John, I have an electric lawnmower, and that shows you how poor I am in the construct of this industry, an electric mower. So I've got like this cord in my hand, and I'm plugging it to my house, which could set the house on fire.
Wait, it's not a battery one, like you plug it in?
No, it's a corded one. This is how poor I am. Like, I tell the story. So
is that even like still legal?
Well, here's the thing. This is in this industry, you measure by either like how many power tools you have, snow blowers, things like that. So I used to work with the great Matt Siegel, used to be at another station here, but he, like everybody's going now. He was like the first to go of all these guys who've been like in the media for like 50 years. So I'm practicing a little putt thing in the hallway there. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, man, Maddie's got to have at least 4 or 5 snowblowers. Just in wealth. You know what I mean? Like just in wealth. Then I realized, I was like, wait, this guy goes to Florida all the time, which means he probably has 4 or 5 guys come over with their snowblowers and do his yard. Like, that is That is the level you want to get to. Damn with this electric mower and these and the allergies going on with it. So, John, if there's one thing I would tell you about you stepping into this industry now, is aim to have five guys bring the snowblower to your house.
Yeah, I only have one snowblower right
now. Brother, you're already ahead of me. I'm still the shovel guy. Still to come. Keywords, Peggate, Stadies, Gardner Minshew, Cat Food, and Dooku Kim. But right now, from Boston.com's very own Kyrie A. Thompson. Kyrie, thank you so much for being here on KJ and Lions. Good Monday to you, man.
You know, good Monday. Thanks for having me on. One quick thing. I'm Kari Thompson. Kyrie used to work for you guys. There's two of us.
Kari. Okay. So I'm going to get on my producer because my producer, Joe. Joe, did you say Kyrie?
I did say yes.
There you go.
And John did fee me a little bit, but
so
I wasn't
he will
listening.
Be massacred outside of the station at the end of the show.
So
it's no worries. It's confusing because we have the same name and we work for the same company.
Kari.
Kari, I want to get to yesterday's game. KJ and I were having this discussion earlier because I think we both felt that the defense did not play nearly as well as it did in week one. Obviously, the offense had some struggles. When you look at this game, do you look at this as, hey, they lost it in all three phases? Do you put more blame on the defense, more blame on the offense? Kind of, well, what did you see on that front?
Man, John, that's kind of negative, man. I mean, to me, the Patriots played well. Like, the Seahawks were a team that was 9-8 and a fringe playoff team last year. Like, they just missed it. And, like, this is a Patriots team that we had no expectations going in. So the fact that they were up by three late in the fourth quarter, of course they blew it and had the blocked kick. But, like, we got to give them some credit here, man. They played really well.
Kari, all right, because I'm going to practice saying your name here. So, Kari, this goes into the conversation that John and I were having, briefly mentioning Alex Van Pelt. Do you feel like he was playing to what was given to him, or he was playing to what he had in terms of talent?
Well, I think that he could have did a better job scheming up some things for his playmakers. Like, Pop Douglas having zero targets is, like, inexcusable. Like, he's arguably your best receiver. And for him to not touch the ball at all, I think that's a scheming issue. You don't have to chuck it down the field or do anything crazy, but you can drop some screens, you know? If you're going to do an end around, why are you giving it to Polk instead of Pop? You know what I'm saying? Like, Pop has that speed where he can actually do something. Like, there are some things schematically that I think Van Pelt definitely could have did differently.
I want to follow up with something you said in your first answer, Kari, and that if you look at yesterday, they lose an overtime game to a team that very well could be in the playoffs this year, one of the better teams in the NFC. If we zoom out, they've won one game, they've lost another in overtime. How do you feel about Jerod Mayo and kind of the program he's running and the progress they've made?
You're feeling good, right? I mean, just watching this game, it feels like we have a competent football team again, which we could not say under Bill the last couple of years. So, like, isn't that fun? Like, that's what we want here in New England. Like,
make football competent again. Yes.
Yeah. Like, make football competent again.
There we go.
That's good.
You know, that would almost come out as a curse word because the okay, go ahead. Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. It's been fun, man. Like, they're in games. They're playing hard. Like, you know, like, they're not getting the doors blown off. We're not seeing back-breaking interceptions every other play like we were seeing last year. Like, of course you got to feel good about where they're at. And you also got to feel good about how Drake May started to look at the end of the preseason. You know, they're getting him ready while being competitive. And now he gets to sit and watch and develop that way.
Talking with Kari Thompson, Boston.com. Kari, John and I here on the show over the time, I've been saying that I find it very odd that in what's clearly a rebuild, that there are some people who are questioning the competency of Jerod Mayo before he even started coaching any of the games. Do you feel like, and this is just me and maybe you feel the same, maybe you feel differently, do you feel that people want Mayo to fail so that way they could probably say, okay, that experiment, we tried it, it didn't work, we can go get this person? Or do you feel like, all right, after week one, some people are starting to come around a little more?
I think we're just so used to Bill. Like, we've had 24 years of one guy doing the job, and Jerod's going to get measured against what Bill does, good or bad. And so I think here in Boston, like, we just have tunnel vision. Like, it was Bill's way for so long, and, you know, it got bad at the end. I don't think people are rooting for Jerod to fail. I think if you're a true Patriots fan, you want your team to do well. Like if you're hoping the team is bad, you can get him fired for another to bring in another guy. I mean, that's just ridiculous on its face. Like, you're not a real fan if you think that.
So I want to ask you about the offensive line, Kari, because Jacoby Brissett, yes, to me, like we joked about making football competent again, but he's been much more competent than what the Patriots had at quarterback last year. But it still feels, sure, like this passing game is kind of stuck in the mud. And do you look at that as Jacoby still either making some mistakes or growing into his role as the starter? Is it just the offensive line? Are the receivers having trouble to separate? Is it Van Pelt? Like, what's going on with this passing offense, and why has it been so limited through 2 weeks?
It's a mix of things. I think you have to start up front with the offensive line, because to me, football starts with the big fellas on both sides of the ball. But like, and we have to be real. The offensive line was not good on Sunday. Like, Jacoby was running for his life. He got sacked 3 times. It should have been more. Like, Jacoby was extending plays with his legs. But we got to be real, too. Jacoby was out there missing reads. But you had to ask, why is he missing reads, right? Because I think on some of those, because he had dudes at time wide open that, you know, like, he just wasn't feeling comfortable. Like, he had to make all those plays with his legs. And you saw those yards Hunter Henry got. Those were on busted plays mostly. That was the play broke down. Jacoby had to go run, scramble out of the pocket. Nobody's open, nobody's open. Oh, there's 85. There's the guy who I'm comfortable with. So that's what he was doing all day. He was hitting one guy who was really comfortable with. And then, yes, the receivers also have to do a better job of getting separation. I mean, the offense just has to do better all the way around.
I would ask this, though. If this Patriots team would have 180 rushing yards and 170 passing yards, per se, wouldn't that be the formula of them to not only be in the game but a chance to win it? It's not going to be pretty, but wouldn't that give them the best chance to win it?
Of course. And the thing is, you can't – so it's a slim margin of error. Like, you're right. If you told me that the Patriots are going to go out and pound the ball for 180 yards on this Young defense, I'd feel pretty good going into the game. But you had – a couple massive mistakes that just crushed you. Like, I mean, that miscommunication between Gonzalez and Duggar that left DK wide open for that 56-yarder, you can't have that. That's two of your premier defensive guys. And that's not DK doing anything fancy. That's literally DK sprinting in a straight line and two of your guys going, no, you get him. No, you get him. You know, that you can't have that. You can't have blocked kicks in a crucial, you know, point in the game. Like, if they make that kick, they're up 6 and Seattle needs a touchdown. And I got enough faith in the Patriots defense that they wouldn't have let him in the end zone. A field goal is one thing, but they wouldn't have let him in the end zone.
Carr, you talked about some of the mistakes from yesterday, and I largely agree with you. I think you can add in kind of the clock management at the end of the first half as well. This is a coaching staff with a rookie head coach, rookie defensive coordinator, a guy who hasn't been a offensive coordinator, play caller, if you will, in 15 years, essentially a rookie special teams coordinator. I know he did it in college. Based off what you've seen this summer and even after week one, where's your confidence level that they'll kind of see these things and correct them? Because I think one of the issues, at least that I had the last 2 years under Bill, is that they would make these mistakes or have turnovers time and time again and not correct them. What's your confidence the staff will do that differently?
I don't know. It's hard to project the in-game adjustments. What I will say is I do believe that Gerard knows situational ball. Like, you know, like whether or not he's going to execute that in the game, like that's a complete different story. Like, we got to give these guys some time to develop. But, I mean, these dudes have been there. They've been on the staff. You know, DeMarcus has been on the staff for a long time. You know, they are experienced. And I think the big thing that's kind of the difference from last year is, like, these dudes are fired up to play for their coaches. Like, more than in-game execution, like, you can tell these dudes are buying in, and it's, like, keeping them in games. Like, they seem like they want to learn and get better and, like, play for this group. So I think that's where you're going to see a lot of dramatic improvement.
All right, Kari, before you get out of here, we appreciate spending some time with us. Of course, you know that Wayne has been denied his opportunity to perform at the Super Bowl by pretty much the people in Louisiana who make this decision. What was the song, do you think, that just horrified them and said there's no way he could be on stage? Lollipop, gonorrhea, or cat food?
I mean, it's got to be – I think gonorrhea tonight.
Kari, thank you so much for being here. Yeah, well, I would say lollipop because the visual, right? I mean, and plus the visual to America, I think it just absolutely ends everything. So, John, I think Kyrie agrees that both the offense did their job and the defense didn't do their job. Yeah. See, he agrees with me.
I think I'm going to take away whichever answers fit my narrative better, KJ.
Oh, your questions are the ones that get your, there you go.
Yeah.
Kyrie, thank you so much for being here on KJ and Lyons, man. Come back through anytime.
Love it. Thanks, guys.
Oh, absolutely. Kyrie A. Thompson at Boston.com.
Yeah. And check I think one thing he said that is a good point, and I know you and I have talked about this, but it's worth mentioning again, is there has to be an element of patience here. Like, these guys are all new at this. He said, you know, because he even said, I'm not sure exactly if they're going to get all these things corrected, but we don't know because they haven't done it before. And I think we saw, at least in the summer, there were times they made mistakes, say training camp or preseason games, and we saw little things get corrected. And we saw them look a lot better in week one against Cincinnati than they did in their last two preseason games. So,
the NFL does that to you week by week, right? If you, after 1 week, the Patriots have a win, the Jets have a loss, and Tua goes down. So there's a feeling you're like, hey, if this team can get to 2-0, it buys itself some time. Yeah. Before whether the inevitable happens, or at least I'll have some enjoyable football a little longer than misery. And that's what's so fascinating about the league. Everybody has their predictions until people get hit and tackled, or what happens. The Chiefs are going to look different. Tua just announced today that he's not going to quit, which is something totally different. So you want to stay around for Just a Jag here in about 10 minutes. So many different things are happening. So for a team that's projectively bad, you feel like, okay, other things are happening that provide a level of hope. So, yeah, it's tough to see that loss yesterday. But I think I said it on Twitter yesterday, and that usually doesn't count what I say because I've been drinking watching the game, is this was a win-some, lose-some game, right? Week one was not a game you expected them to win. This was one of those, like, you're like, okay, if they did everything right, they should win this game. I say the one thing they didn't do right was the miscommunication for DK Metcalf to pretty much moonwalk into the end zone.
Yeah, and like I said, I think it's more than that, but I agree with the premise in that if this is the way they're going to play, like they beat Cincinnati, and I thought they played better against Cincinnati across the board than they did yesterday, and then they lost to Seattle because they didn't play quite as well. Like the margin for error, because we talked about, right, the talent on defense I think is pretty good, but you're still missing Barmore. You still traded Judon, so maybe not as elite
maybe
talent.
Maybe the lack of leadership in the back that you've historically had, right? McCourty's been gone for a couple of years. So Preppers, but Pepper, in fairness, Peppers is on the other side of the field when that breakdown happens.
Yeah. But so they gave Duggar a lot of money, too. Like, he should know better than that. You know what I mean? Like, that's a leader to, like, I get what you're saying, but, like, at this, it's not like Duggar's in his second year or something. You know, he's been here since 2020. They gave him an extension. Like, that's a mistake that, you know, you should know better than. But I think, again, there's a ceiling on what this team is going to do offense. Like, they're not going to score 31 points a game. So they're going to have these grinded out games, and they won one against Cincinnati, to your point. Now they lost one against Seattle, and I think we're going to see that happen quite a few more times this year.
Yeah, well, I think with the Jets on Thursday, that's going to be pretty interesting. We'll get into the conversation about the Jets game coming up as well. Plus, we'll get to your text and calls, 37937, the text line, 617-779-7937. KJ and Lyons, WEEI, Just the Jag is next. Thank you so much for hanging out on Patriots Monday. KJ and Lyons, WEEI, Patriots Monday. Oh, man, that loss was tough. 617-779-7937, text line, 37937. We're about 3 minutes away from Just the Jag. It's John's favorite segment on the show. We'll look at some
of
the quarterbacks.
It really kind of is.
It is. I mean, I appease you like a very good partner on this show. Like, I'm a giver on this show.
Well, it's really, I like to highlight your musical talents. And well, Just the Jag is one of your pinnacle songs.
Okay, now we're being a jag off. No, I'm totally kidding. No, but look, it's a fun way of being able to take shots at players or kind of reaffirm what you already know if they're just a guy. That's 2 minutes away. So, John, you know I have this obsession with headphones. Are you a headphones guy? You're not a headphones guy.
I obviously use them to listen to music or for this job, but as long as it's a decent pair, I don't get caught up in it.
Okay, literally, I probably have. This is how bad it is with headphones with me. I have at least a box of 40 headphones. All of them retailing over like $100.
Wow.
Those are just the over the ears. And then the earbuds.
See, now if you, that would get you a more expensive lawnmower. I'm just saying.
God, no. No, there's no way. Because here's the thing. When I do the lawnmower thing, I still get damn allergies. I have to now cut grass with a mask on. And I'm like, That is brutal, you know? Yeah. So, and my wife is like, we should get a bigger house. I'm like, no, you know, no, my allergies.
Bigger house, so, smaller yard.
Right. So then I have like probably, I counted them because I had to recharge a bunch of them, maybe about 20 pairs of earbuds. So probably overall, some kind of headphones. I probably have 50 to 75 of them.
How many of those earbuds do you lose?
None of them. I'm super anal about keeping my stuff close and nearby and chargers and stuff like that. So I'm on top of it. But my favorite ones are these Bose Sports, right? So I hadn't used them in a while, and then I get the blinking red and white light of death. It's the equivalent. Remember on the Xbox?
Yeah, the red rings of death. Yes, I remember those.
I get this, and like they're telling me like you could buy some more. I'm like, if I pay over $100 for it, someone should tell me how a blinking light should go out. So, like, yeah, okay, you know, probably my wife doesn't need to hear this break. The highest I've paid for headphones. Oh, so the other part is I learned how to buy high-end ones and fix them myself. I just haven't done the resale thing. I have a pair of headphones that are made by this company in New York, Grotto. They're really, really, really good. Really good. So, I've been known to pay like $200 on headphones.
See,
money!
I'm just saying, you add that up, you would not have to plug in.
Then I would only have one set of headphones. Like here, even on the show, I have headphones that tend to match the outfit. So that's why today, rocking the blazer with the Rolling Stones shirt, with the white muffs, with the black outside, with the coils in them. And
right, these I see are, it. Yeah, I see
these
it.
These are magnificent headphones. So, yeah, I'm just really upset. Like, I don't know. Is there, like, what is the item that you would just lose it? That it suddenly stopped working, and you're like, look, I like, I'm invested in this. Like, that's something you personally like.
You know what, to be, sounds like a silly item, but if my TV clicker just stopped working, because all the new TVs now, you can't really push buttons on them to change channels, and there's so many channels that
isn't that a battery change?
No, but I'm saying, like, if it actually broke, and then you have to go to the store and get a new one, but you have to go all the way, and you can only go to a certain store, you know, your cable provider.
You can't get the universal remote.
Yeah, like, that's one thing. Man. That I think would really bother if that just broke. Not even the bed just broke. That would bother me.
37937. Joe, what do you have on the text?
Well, first off, you guys are the air fryer pushing away an entire generation. You're talking to a generation that doesn't quite know exactly what you're talking about with a universal remote.
What, a battery or earphones? You don't know
Joe
what those
is
are?
Not that much younger.
No, not
than
my
I am.
Generation. Not my generation. I'm talking the ones before me.
Yeah, he's talking, you know, Jacob in the corner
you
over
might,
there.
Yeah, that's you might as well talking. Throw phone booth in there. They have no idea what you're talking
you don't,
about.
Wait, Jacob does not know what headphones are or a remote is?
No, he does.
I was going to say, like,
when John mentioned universal remote, that threw
when
that
when I said universal remote?
Yeah.
Wait. You've never heard of a universal remote?
Well, I've heard of it, but I've never used it.
I've never used one either, actually.
I mean, I have some older stuff, like, okay, don't laugh, but I actually have a operating, what are they called? Video disc players. They're like
you
big,
mean DVD
super-sized.
Players?
Yeah. No, bigger than, no, the ones before that. The
VHS tape? The
no,
VCR?
They're super huge CDs. They look like big CDs.
Vinyls?
No idea what you're talking
vinyls
about.
And
oh, laser
players.
Disc. I have a laser disc player. I bought it recently. Like, they're super sized CDs, and they're like, they look like CDs, but they're like the size of a record, and you'd have to flip it over to watch the other side of the movie.
All right. Well, anyway, back to the text line.
That's really ass old.
774, you guys are talking about competency with the Patriots. 774 writes in, so the Patriots are competent just because Mac Jones isn't throwing to the other team the ball two or three times in a game.
Hey, man, that helps.
Yeah,
like when you're not having catastrophic turnovers. I mean, how many games, KJ, did we come on the air last year where they lost because of some catastrophic interception? I mean,
I can never stop playing the interception to the Colts.
Oh my God, that's like a nightmare
in London last year. Like that's the one I see over and over again. It's like, what do you see from Mac Jones that reminds you of like how bad it was?
Yeah.
For me, it was throwing to three guys in the frame. Trying to get that ball over them to Gesicki. That was, oh my God.
That's like on one end of the Patriots fan spectrum, you have the Malcolm Butler interception, Super Bowl 49, and the way
Mac
on
Jones
the other end, you have
that.
The Mac Jones one in Germany.
Yeah, the texter is absolutely right. Even with yesterday, despite them losing a game where you felt like they should have won, there were no turnovers, there were no interceptions, there was only three penalties. So that's the other thing. You had a lot of penalties going on with this offensive line team, with the offense last year. So, that's a good thing. All right, 37937 text line, 617-779-7937 still to come up. Peg Gate, Alex Cora being brought into the principal's office. That's still to come. But now it's time for...
Yeah! I'm sorry that I said you were a jag. Just a guy.
Oh, he's just a jag. Not great, not bad. Doesn't stand out on the field. Oh, he's just a jag. Not great, not bad. Just a guy out on the field.
All right, John. We're going to look at some JAG candidates for week two. These are quarterbacks. Think about where they are. It's almost like don't think about Geno Smith on paper before he plays the game against you and throw for 327 yards. Think about where they are now. All right. Kyler Murray, Arizona Cardinals.
Hey, I've been hard on this guy. I got to give him credit. He's been awesome the first 2 weeks. He's above a JAG right now.
So he's no longer, he's out of the JAG category. Baker Mayfield.
I think he's above a JAG. That's a great win going to Detroit and beating the Lions.
All right, here's the controversial one. I agree with the first two so far. Deshaun Watson.
I think he's a JAG. I mean, he was awful against the Cowboys. Not much better against the Jaguars. That's a very, very expensive JAG.
But he gets the win. He's not supposed to be pretty down the field, and I think they're still figuring some things out. I think he's coming out of the JAG category. Derek Carr, New Orleans Saints.
The most surprising to me, non-JAG. He's been above it so far. I mean, hey, that win against the... I mean, look, anybody can probably beat the Panthers, but that win against the Cowboys in Dallas, that was legit.
Gardner Minshew.
I'm sorry, he's a JAG.
Really? See, I'm going to go a little different because I think he fits the style and the culture of Davis and the Raiders.
Maybe, I just...
Right. Keep in mind, this is a team that went pretty far years ago with Jeff Hostetler. Then they went through some years of just always kind of having this rebel in there. If you can get guard, and think about it, the Chiefs are going to be without their running back for 6 to 8 weeks. So if you're Baltimore, you feel like, okay, maybe we've got a bit of a guy who's got a little bit of umph, and you still have Davante Adams to throw to. I think he's coming out of the JAG area. All right, Justin Fields, Pittsburgh Steelers.
You know what? So far this year, KJ, he's been above a JAG.
Whoa!
He has been. Credit to him. And he looks like a much better player than the guy who was in Chicago.
Joseph, give me that just a guy.
Just a guy.
He's still just a guy. I think they are babying, coddling him so much to make Nick. Please don't make a mistake because we feel like they're all going to show up right after him. Anthony Richardson, quarterback, Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, I think he's below a JAG. I mean, everybody, that 60-yard pass from last week jumps out at everyone, but we're talking about a team that offensively really hasn't played well for two straight weeks.
Yeah, I wonder if the clock may be ticking on him. If you saw what just happened to Bryce Young down in Carolina, like if Anthony Richardson can't turn it around, we're now seeing something unprecedented. We don't care if you were taken number one last year. We will sit that ass.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott, Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, I'm going to go right at JAG right now. I mean, I thought he was bad. I thought he was bad against the Saints, but I thought he was great against the Browns. So I guess that evens out to a JAG.
Yeah, I think there's just something that's missing there. Sometimes when you sign the big contract, you kind of fall asleep. I think that might have happened. Jaden Daniels, Washington Commanders.
Yeah, he's got a sign around his neck that just says J-A-G.
Just
a
guy.
Matthew Stafford, L.A. Rams, after 2 weeks.
Oh, man, how about what happened to the freaking Rams yesterday? That was nuts. I'm going to have to go below, and it's not all him. Like, Nakua's been hurt, Kupp got hurt, but I mean, he's been really, he's been a jag. I'll
just give it to him.
Because of the injuries.
Give it to him. Yep. All right, Sam Darnold, Minnesota Vikings.
Hey, how about this? Above a jag. Sam, and shout out to Brian Flores for slowing that San Francisco 49ers offense down, too.
Caleb Williams, Chicago Bears.
You know what? I watched him in that Sunday night game, and there's a lot to like there. He's still a young player. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, and I'm going to say he's above a JAG right now. He's just learning.
Give me that just a guy.
Just a guy.
Yeah, I'm with Belichick. I was actually before Belichick. Don't buy the hype from the preseason. I think this guy's going to feel like he can out-college everybody and not realize that all these guys who are going out are probably the best guys that ever played at their colleges. And finally, Tua Tagovailoa.
Well, first of all, most importantly, best wishes to him and his health. But I think, really, he was terrible in that game before he got hurt. I mean, I'm going to have to go JAG right
just
now.
Just a guy.
I didn't think he was that good in week one either.
Can you give me two JAGs there, Joseph?
Just a guy. Just a guy.
Here's why. He announced today that he says he's not going to quit. And you can stop the music here because I don't want it to be like a bunch of music about Tua. I'll say this. Man, do not end up being Dooku Kim. If you don't know who that is, Google it. But it changed everything in boxing, and the last thing you want to do out there with Tua is have something absolutely disastrous. Look, DeMar Hamlin, when that happened last year, that was such a freak accident, but it became such a news story beyond football. And I've always said this about this working in television. Anytime the news department wants to start doing sports stories, watch out, because they're looking for the investigative journalism. If Tua, Lord forbid, something disastrous happened to him out on that field, that's when you're going to start seeing the calls about the violence of football. And Tua could have easily made the decision to say step away, especially when someone in your brotherhood stepping away. I really hope he steps away.
Yeah, and I frankly wouldn't blame him at all. I mean, he's had not just multiple concussions, KJ, but some scary ones. And every concussion is serious. But remember that one? It was in, I think, Cincinnati last year.
Yeah, the first hand crumble.
Yeah, and then he does it again. Like, I just, it's something that I think he's going to seriously consider walking away. And look, I know it's tough, right? You don't want to walk away from being an NFL quarterback.
I want to be able to talk and eat my food.
Yeah, just think of, I mean, his health, man. I mean, he could live another 70 years from now. You don't want to risk that by just continuing to play.
And let's call it what it is. You don't think it's the universe saying something to you that DeMar Hamlin was the one on the tackle?
Like, hey, man, maybe. And again, I hate to say, like, no one would want to work their whole life to get to that point and have to give it up. But it just, I mean, I'm worried about the guy's health.
Yeah, last 30 minutes of KJ and Lyons next here on WEEI, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Good Monday to you.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.